At KPMG, our people make the difference. It's not just something we say, it's what we do. Combining the power of people and technology, we uncover brighter insights, innovate bolder solutions, and create better data-driven outcomes. KPMG, make the difference.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars, because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Hey, Saints and Aints, how art thou?
Your makeup cute.
Thank you.
You're getting better at this.
I've been trying. No, I was just telling Kim that, like, when I started seeing, like, our like, podcast being watched by people on their screens.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, the makeup got to change.
Yeah.
Like, we got to do something different. Because now you watching us all in 27 inches on 4K, and it's giving. It's giving insecurity.
I became self-conscious the first time I saw huge nose hair.
Wow.
Coming out of my nose. Wow. on one of the videos. Mm. And I looked at the IG story that the person had. I said, they being real gracious, because they said Preston is going in.
They might not have noticed it.
They didn't say Preston's hair needs to go back in his nose.
They might not have noticed it.
I don't know how you could not notice it.
I notice it, but I don't know if they noticed
it. So tell me why Jackie didn't bought me nose trimmers three times. And when she buys them for me, she always comes and just, she doesn't say anything. She just walks up to me with the nose.
Because this, the kind of spirit I got, I'm not finna criticize you without helping you. Okay. So I'm not finna say, hey, fix your nose hairs. I'm gonna just say, here you go. Because he edging up on 40. So when you edge up on 40, things start growing in places that they ain't used to grow when you was 28.
But the way you be trying to help, but at the same time, not trying to be like disrespectful.
Right.
But it low-key still be like,
because I don't want to discourage you.
I know, but I know when people try not to discourage you, mm-hmm. it actually kind of adds to it sometimes, because you always walk up to me and you let me know how bad it really is by not trying to do a lot. But I appreciate it.
Okay. I don't want you out here. You know what I'm saying? With your little thing. That nose there be draping.
You be being a good helper.
It's all right. We've been married 10 years, sir.
10 years. A whole decade. That's crazy.
And I got a new ring.
Yeah, man. You know what I'm saying?
Out here.
Show him the ring. Show him the ring. You know what I'm saying? Show it.
I don't know what to do.
Just hold your hand up. You feel awkward. She feel awkward.
Here it goes. I don't know what to do. But what I do know is, I had been telling Preston I wanted to upgrade for a minute. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Probably, I don't know, 2 years ago.
2 years ago, yeah.
Because you upgraded me year five. And it felt a little crazy year seven to be like, hey, can we do it again?
Yeah.
You know, that's a little discouraging.
And so when you started saying you wanted to upgrade around 2 years ago, I was like, so if you don't know nothing about Jackie, she gives really good gifts because she thinks about gifts way in advance. And so I was like,
yes,
let me, you know, play our own game. Let me think about this way in advance. And so literally I started funneling money.
Literally.
Probably a year.
I didn't know he was stealing from us.
Probably a year and a half ago. So every time I would do an event, every time I would do anything, I would just put money away. And so she almost called me like 19 times. But I did it. I successfully.
You did.
Bought her a new ring.
You did.
And hit a lot of money.
Surprise me, sir. I said, wow.
So I gave it to him.
You out here.
So I gave it to her when we got to the Maldives, because we went to the Maldives for our 10-year anniversary. And so she's like, I'm going to take a shower and then I'm going to go to lunch. I was like, nah, sit down. I set it down on the bed, pulled out the ring, and tell me why Jackie just looked at it for like 30 seconds and did not say anything. She just
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Because it's not that I thought you would get me an ugly ring. I just didn't think you would get me one that impressed me to this degree.
But see,
because I am hard to impress.
So here's the thing,
and
though.
And so I appreciate it.
You are hard to impress, but here's the thing. You helped me, babe, because you're so honest.
Uh-huh.
I heard what you didn't like about your old one.
Yeah.
So much.
No, I didn't say, I didn't say it all the time.
Not
all the time.
The last 2 years.
No, I pulled back on the criticism.
Oh, no, it's ugly now.
I didn't say that.
I want a dainty ring.
That's a lie.
No,
you did not say that.
No, you didn't say it's ugly.
I didn't.
You said it's auntie-ish.
I said it's a little gaudy. It's a little busy.
Yeah, you said it's like the auntie that who drives Lexuses or something like that.
It was given Alpharetta.
You kept saying dainty, and so that's what I had in mind. I said, okay, just dainty.
It was getting Fulton dainty, County.
You know. Oh my goodness.
It was giving Ackworth.
Yeah, I did good though, right?
Yeah, you did great.
All right, cool.
So in light of our 10-year situation, we wanted to watch back the footage from our wedding because we've been creating content for a long time, which is crazy. And so we had, you know, a videographer there to record it because we were working with a ministry at the time called P4CM. And we would like, you know, use our lives to preach and minister and stuff like that. And so, yeah, we're just going to watch it and comment and then even like think about what we've even learned about the idea of marriage and relationship and intimacy since then.
And to give you guys a backstory for all those who wasn't around during the poetry days when me and Jackie were just friends, when we did the poetry episode of us watching our old poems, I showed the proposal poem that was called Covenant. And so we used that proposal poem to just document, you know, our engagement leading up to the wedding. And it was called Journey to Covenant. And so our wedding was actually the last, the poem was the first video and our wedding was the last video. And we had videos in between. So
I actually forgot all those details.
Yeah. So we're going to watch the last video of the Journey to Covenant.
I think
which
you
was
got
our
to,
wedding.
I think you want to.
Let me push play.
We need a long arm.
I believe that there's a beautiful covenant waiting for us on the other side of this relationship.
Wow. Looks so young.
A covenant that's not dependent upon
how I literally printed those little things at Kinko's.
That church is beautiful, though.
It was and wasn't. I'll show you why it wasn't. The stained glass was amazing.
Yeah, I thought the church was beautiful.
My mom bought that dress. Look at you, looking like Eden.
Yeah.
Blessings. William. He's like a whole 12, 13 now. Salvation. Come on here. Hair. Dress. Hold on. Can you pause it? I want to tell a real quick story about dresses. So we were broke. Press the we were really broke. I think you were still at Radio Shack. I was working at a nonprofit. You know what I'm saying? And so weddings are so profoundly expensive.
Yeah.
I didn't know that until we started to get into the planning situation. I said, wow.
Yeah, we were like,
I see why people go to the courthouse.
And what was crazy was so we had, as you guys know, poems on YouTube that was like had thousands of views, right?
We wasn't getting that money.
But we wasn't getting that money. No. And so I think the perception was that we had way more money than what we had when we were dead broke. And so do you want to tell the people how we actually raised?
Well, no, I was going to make a comment about my dress.
Oh, gotcha.
Because the point was we were so broke that I could not afford a nice dress.
Gotcha.
So one of the people that I worked with at the nonprofit, she was finna get married and didn't get married, so she still had her dress. And she was like, Jackie, I can give you the dress for free. I didn't even really like the dress, but I'm like, it's free. I'm finna wear it. It's cool. And I told my mom, and she said, Jackie, I'll buy you a dress. And so I appreciate my mama for making sure that I had a dress that actually looked like me. Because I would have looked like a little tortilla or something.
Shout out to parents.
We got three daughters, though. Can we afford all three dresses?
We got to.
I guess we got to figure that out. Come on.
You were really, really pretty. Look at my mom.
Look at Pamela.
I walked my mom down the aisle and set her down. That's how I came in the wedding. I didn't realize that the intro was this long.
Now you realize people was judging me for that.
What?
Because I didn't want flower girls. I wanted, I called them flower distributors.
Oh, the little boys.
Jonathan McReynolds.
So. Wow. Mm-hmm.
That background is so ugly.
Can I just pause it real quick?
Yeah.
So before Jackie walked down the aisle, what bothered me was our videographer, he used to shoot all my poetry videos in Chicago. And Jonathan McReynolds, he was up and coming at the time.
He didn't get a NAND footage of that man.
Yeah, bro. And like, and so like,
people think that's a soundtrack.
Yeah, people think that when they looked at the video that we just got Jonathan McReynolds' song or whatever to sing for the wedding. But he was like actually like on the stage singing, because like me and Jonathan go way back. We used to do all kind of events back in the day in Chicago, and he was actually there, but you don't see him not one time in the video. And so after the wedding, I was like, bro, you didn't get him? He was like, I didn't know you wanted me to get any shots. And so now, you know what I'm saying, we got Jonathan Reynolds singing while Jackie coming down the aisle, but it's no actual
I need to make show. I need to make a set of comments. Okay.
There's a great need for mental health counselors. How powerful can it be if we start to encourage people in the body of Christ to pursue education so we can get people out there in the counseling field who not only have an education, but also, have a biblical worldview.
Have the Holy Ghost.
Have the Holy Ghost.
Hello.
Who can help the body of Christ to pursue mental health.
Richmont is uniquely positioned to help you become an empathetic, spiritually sensitive counselor by integrating some clinician practices and a Christian perspective. You could also further your education with their master's programs and their doctoral programs. And guess what? They are located in Chattanooga, Atlanta, and online. With this program, you could advance your career in counseling and otherwise. As a Richmond student, the goal is to use your story to make an impact in the world. So apply today at richmond.edu and use the promo code PERRYS to waive your application fee today. That's RICHMONT.EDU and use the promo code Harry's. So I think at the time this fit our budget, it fit where we were in life, but there's so many elements to the design of our wedding that I would not do.
What?
Well, one, I don't know if I would use a church anymore.
Why not?
I feel like I would use a beautiful event space that can be made into some type of sanctuary wedding-like feature, then turned over into a reception hall.
Yeah.
Because I think you have more control over the aesthetic and how it looks. It just costs more money. That's one. Two, I wouldn't have had, you know, the little paper, little trail thing. The little, what's that? The little
paper runner.
What's the thing on the Wiz? The yellow brick road little paper thing. I wouldn't have been This a little palm tree in the corner. Why is that there? What are these little? It's just so many things.
Yeah.
But it's okay. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh.
I wouldn't have bridesmaids and groomsmen.
You will eliminate bridesmaids and groomsmen?
Yes.
Did you tell me this before?
I did. I said if I were to get married again, I would have people who represent them. So they might have their own little special seating. They might like sit in a certain way. I think I would just have a maid of honor, because I think you need a maid of honor to help you. Yeah. She's a maid of honor.
So you just got real practical.
Yeah, because I think simplifying the wedding, one, it saves more money. It saves more time and energy. You don't even have to deal with the different dynamics of like this person walking with this person and that person flirting with that person. Let's just be about celebrating the covenant that is taking place here.
We also talked about how we would have our daughters kind of stand by us, right?
I'm saying if we got married again 10 years ago. Gotcha. If I was to get married right now with what I know and the experiences at weddings that I've been in, I would be like, we can nix the groomsmen and the bridesmaids. It could just be we walk our parents down, we have, you know, flower petals or whatever, and we get married and call it a day.
Yeah. Cool. Give your all. I don't care. Just as long as food good and we go somewhere warm afterwards.
Come on. That train was crazy.
Look at me. I was like, wow.
You about 89 pounds.
So listen, this is the first time I saw Jackie in a dress.
Shoot, feel like the first time I saw you in a dress.
And this is the first time I saw her with makeup. And so you got to understand.
I hadn't worn a dress since
I'm
prom.
Sitting there. Look, my head is down right here because, like, I couldn't believe how beautiful you were.
Oh.
Like, and so, like, this is the first time seeing my best friend in with makeup and the little eyelashes blinking at me.
Wow.
And everybody was telling me I was going to cry. And I'm like, well, that's corny. Why would I cry?
And you did.
See, here's the thing, though. A tear came to my eye, but it didn't fall. So technically, I'm still a
there's
G.
Still.
It has to fall.
No.
Yeah, it has to fall.
For that's it to rules. Technically be crying?
No. It has to fall.
You want me to Google what crying is?
Yeah.
Keep talking.
It has to fall. So I looked at you. I felt warm inside. And I was like, why do I feel warm? I feel warm.
Okay.
And then you saw blinking at me and then you smiled at me. And I was like, I don't know why I feel the way I feel.
Wow.
What is this? And so I put my head down. Because I'm like, who gives a black man permission to feel, right?
Cry.
Are you really going to
Google it? Period of strong emotion, such as unhappiness or pain,
that results
in producing tears. So the tears don't have to fall. The fact that they were produced, hello, means that it was crying.
What? That don't make sense.
It doesn't have to.
Anyways,
that's your hypermasculinity showing up.
The point that I'm
taking pride in the fact that the tear didn't fall.
The point that I was trying to make was this is my first time ever seeing, you know, Jackie in this way, and so it was just like everything that we went through, everything that God brought us through, which we'll talk about after the video.
That's sweet.
I felt all those emotions.
Oh, we need to make a comment. I made it a rule.
I'm so tired of pressing pause. This is crazy.
I wanted everybody, all the guests, to wear black. And that was because so the color white represents purity, represents being set apart. Like, everything about a wedding is symbolic of the gospel, or should be, which is that God, you know, loves his bride, pursues her, woos her to himself, makes covenant with her through the blood of Jesus Christ, purifies her, sanctifies her. And so this white represents what Christ has done for us. So I was intentional about even the dress code because I wanted everybody to wear black so that when I came down the aisle or when I moved in the room, the white was so obvious. Mm-hmm. and a contrast to everybody else, because I don't think it's, I mean, this ain't in the Bible. So if everybody if people have a wedding where the husband wears white and the bride wears white and the guests wear white, that's cool. But I don't like that it doesn't allow the bride to actually be set apart, because if a wedding is symbolic of the gospel, to me, like, the bride of Christ is set apart from the world. So that, like, that sounds deep, but in my mind, as a creative, I'm like, nah, like, if we set apart in Jesus where we stand out among the world, then I want to stand out among even my guests. Like, I don't want nobody to be more noticeable than me.
Right. You was like,
I don't want nobody more noticeable than me. And so we are everybody wearing black except me.
It was given unique. Amen.
Oh, that black background bothers me so bad.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't realize it was that bad, Jackie.
I didn't.
It don't look bad right there in that shot. So he get this dude singing. Who is this? I don't even know who that is.
He's from St. Louis. Don't do that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because I had Christina Bell and their friends come. And
I'm sorry, God. You can sing.
And lead worship.
You can sing good.
That's Christina. She was on Crescendo. She sang the Total Praise song.
What's crazy is this was 10 years ago, and they did a scan of the audience just now, and I just saw like 3 of my aunties and uncles who are no longer here. It's crazy how time flies. Come on, Harmony.
It's the Harmony. Look at me, looking Presbyterian. Because I like, I want to worship, but I got
Take
makeup.
Jackie to be my wife.
Take Jackie to be my wife.
Okay, how about you guys hold hands and...
It was Brian Dye. Like he was our pastor at the time.
Each other's eyes, okay?
That dress is great.
And to hold.
Look at that ring.
That's beautiful.
From this day forward. From this day forward. For better or for worse.
Better or for worse.
Pause. You remember you grew your beard out for me for this wedding?
Yeah.
Because you was doing the little chin strap situation. I'm like, can we work on a beard?
Yeah, yeah.
Just for this moment.
What was crazy, yeah, so that was the first time I ever had, my wedding day was the first time I ever had a full beard because I had the chin strap, the whole.
You did.
All, you know what I'm saying? So she said, grow your whole beard out. And the whole day my face itched so bad. I was like, man, so like, why did I let this girl talk me?
So beards are itchy?
Because when you're not used to it, I'm like, why does it keep hitting my lip? Like, it was just hitting my lip. And I was like, man, I kiss her, hope she don't get hair on her face, because I'm not used to all this hair on my face. It was weird.
Huh.
But now I'm used to it.
Yeah. You had a beard ever since.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I was helping you.
You started early.
I did. It's a blessing, sir.
Rich or upper poor. In sickness and in health.
Sickness and in health.
To love and to cherish.
To love and to cherish.
Till death do us part.
Till death do us part.
And to this I give my pledge.
And to this I give my
Now pleasure. Look how ignorant Jackie is when she's saying her little vows.
I, Jackie. Take Preston to be my husband.
Take Preston to be my husband.
To have and to hold.
Oh, look at us drinking the wine.
From this day forward.
Communion.
This day forward.
For better, for worse.
For better and for worse.
Yeah, God.
For richer or poorer.
For poorer and for richer.
Yeah.
Got to be rebellious.
In sickness and in health.
In health and in sickness.
Why do you have to say it backwards?
I just don't like doing what people tell me to do.
Do us part.
To the corpse.
To the corpse. He said to death do us part. She said to the corpse.
It's true.
Who does? No. That's
not it's true.
Let's start there.
Okay. We can start there.
He said to death do us part. Why would you say to the corpse?
Because that's a poetic way to rephrase his statement.
I'm just saying though, like it's my auntie said, did she say corpse? I'll never forget that. She said, your wife is something else. She said corpse.
And a lot of this is honestly awkward. I'm just awkward. And it feels very uncomfortable and vulnerable to be till death do us part. And I'm just not going to do all that. So I would rather just kind of be sarcastic to get myself through this emotionally turbulent situation.
Yeah. And my mama used to always say when she came around Jackie, she was like, I never thought that she would marry somebody that's more sarcastic and more outlandish than you.
I don't think you're actually that sarcastic.
Well, I can be.
Yeah.
With her. Yeah, you got me beat.
Let me pray for this couple.
Pray for this couple.
For as much as Preston and Jackie have consented together in holy wedlock.
He needed a lapel mic.
And the loved ones.
There's so many things. Like, this is my production mind.
And pledged their vows to each other. I now pronounce them husband and wife, Preston. You may kiss your bride.
I'm kissing her like how I want to kiss her. I don't care.
Okay, pause. So we would pause it on that. When I did this, the sound man, he had a cue that as soon as
that's what your mama always talking about.
Yeah, as soon as he said, "Now I pronounce Jackie husband." Da da da. He was supposed to cue the music. So I'm in the moment, but I'm also producing the event in my mind. So yeah. I'm like. Hey, bro, you a little late.
Because
like,
your mama always said, when you start doing like this right before we kiss, she knew what she was doing.
Uh-huh.
I thought she was telling me to hurry up. So
I was talking to the sound
Come
person.
Here.
Uh-huh. I was talking to the sound person.
And so she
like,
was
you
like,
had a cue and you missed it.
So your mom was like, that's my first time that I realized that my daughter a little controlled. She said, kiss your husband, but you talking about something.
I know.
Speed it up, bucko.
Because we're supposed to kiss to the music.
Come on, I got to kiss this man. Speed it up. What are you doing?
This is where delegation would have been helpful.
At KPMG, our people make the difference. It's not just something we say, it's what we do. Combining the power of people and technology, we uncover brighter insights, innovate bolder solutions, and create better data-driven outcomes. KPMG, make the difference.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars, because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Because I also didn't have a real wedding coordinator. Because again, I didn't have no money. And so the job I worked at, this girl, she was just administrative. She had never coordinated a wedding ever in her life. And she was like, hey, Jackie, I'll help you. But I think if I had somebody who was an authentic wedding coordinator to oversee the event, then I wouldn't have felt so responsible for making sure that everything was running according. Because I felt like I have to be in charge of making sure everything works.
That makes sense.
Which shouldn't have been my burden, but it was.
That's why you told him to
hurry up, bucko.
Speed it up, bucko.
You missed your cue 4 seconds ago. Wow.
Whoa, wow. We went in.
Whoa. Awkward.
Why do we kiss like that?
You did that.
No,
you're the one that started going in on the bottom lip.
Let's start there. Look.
You were excited, bucko.
No, so I kissed you and I was like, but when you turned your head, you kind of grabbed my face and I said, oh, she's taking it there. When you grab somebody's face, when you do extra skin contact, that means you want me to keep, you was inviting me into that. Should I rewind it?
No, we saw it.
Yeah, when you did like that, I said, oh.
I could adjust my head, bro.
Bring on a honeymoon, bucko. Bro. Bring on a honeymoon. Honeymoon, please.
Oh, that was a lot. That was a lot.
Come on.
Because we weren't, some people have the testimony of like, you know, we didn't kiss until our wedding day. Praise God. That was not our story.
We kiss, but we ain't do the do yet.
We didn't have sex.
We didn't have sex.
Yes.
And I was ready.
Yeah, I was actually a virgin, but I wasn't a virgin. Because when you out here watch porn, being with women, doing all the things, getting touched and groped and all the things, you ain't no virgin for real.
Yeah.
You're not a virgin in the Lord's eyes. Yeah. You're still a little defiled. You're still a little unclean. But then the Lord saved me and filled me with the Holy Ghost, set me apart, purified me, made me righteous, justified me. Hello.
Now.
But when it came to intercourse with you, we didn't do that. And I was grateful. This might be TMI. I always said, if I wasn't a virgin, we probably would have.
Yeah, for sure.
We that's would've. What kept me. And God. But that's what kept me.
But what's crazy was we were late for our reception.
Oh, you're going far now.
No, we were.
Oh, I don't know if they need to know.
Well, I was going to say initially we were late for our reception because it was snowing. Remember?
But I know why you went there.
No, you don't. It was snowing. And so we had the reception.
I know your motives.
The reception was
I know
like
your motives.
20 minutes away.
So I'm going to tell you what's happening.
We got married March 1st.
I'm going to tell you exactly what's happening.
See, you think. Okay.
Y'all got to see what just happened. So we were talking about purity and how we had not done anything before our wedding day.
Uh-oh.
He randomly starts talking about how we were late for the reception. If you realize that's actually like an incongruent connection,
see,
unless you
thing.
Know what
Let's
happens. What happens was we were in the limousine, and because we're pure now and because we're in covenant, things are happening. Okay. That's where his mind went. Is things did happen even before we stepped foot into the reception hall. That's where your mind went.
See, listen,
you nasty man.
We were late though because of you skipped the snowstorm. So we got married March 1st.
Drive a roll up the partition, please. And tell me why the limousine driver, he was a pervert.
So let's start there.
He kept putting the partition down.
He was like, y'all too warm. I said, bro, you turn that window down. I said, you know, bro, you know the window foggy for a reason.
You remember at Titanic when they was in back of the thing and her little hand went down the little window.
Wait. He said, y'all still okay back there? I said, but if you'll put that window up.
Press play.
Oh my goodness. We look so proud.
My feet hurt.
Look, I said, thank you, God.
We're so holy.
Man.
It's one thing.
Where's that ring? Because it's your third ring in my marriage.
You might have sold it.
Oh, I think I sold it in Boston.
No, or did it break? Did I lose it?
No, it broke off.
Yeah.
And we got it started back on. And then you was like,
never runs out on. Why did we choose this song?
Yeah, look at my beard.
Need a brush.
No, the brush wouldn't have helped it.
Oh, it's because it was like,
It was freshly white.
It was nice at the time.
But nah, man, what have you learned in this last 10 years of marriage? Watching that was nostalgic. I haven't watched that video in so long.
I think it's crazy just to reflect on how God always has so much more before you than you can imagine.
Break that down.
At that time, again, you're at Radio Shack. I'm in a nonprofit. We're doing poetry, trying to be faithful. We didn't have Eden in mind. Mm. We didn't have August in mind. Yeah. We didn't have Sage in mind. We didn't have Autumn in mind. Like, we didn't have moving to Atlanta in mind. We didn't have me preaching and teaching and having, like, I didn't have books. We didn't have a pocket. Like, I don't think we foresaw anything we're walking in right now. And I don't even think it was something we were chasing. We were just really being faithful. And so I think that's one thing that I've learned is that God is, he really is with you. He has been with us. I think also I reflect on how many people I know that got married at the same time and aren't married anymore.
Wow.
Like, so how God has sustained us when we could have, I mean, the first year was miserable.
Yeah. it was the hardest thing.
We could have divorced a long time ago.
Yeah. The first year, I think about that often. What was crazy, when we were in the Maldives, and I think it was the second day, and I was sitting by the ocean, and I was just really reflecting on how hard it was, you know, in the beginning. And then I'm here now in the Maldives with my best friend. And like, I feel like we still have our problems. We still have our issues, but we do have like this groove that we just kind of get one another. And even when we, you know, come upon trials and stuff like that, it's not detrimental because we know how to work through it.
Yeah.
Sure. And that's because, you know, in my IG caption, on our anniversary, I said, you know, through the years, we've chosen God and we chose each other. And for that, I'm proud of us. And I meant that because, you know, I think a testament of why we're here is us choosing God year after year and us choosing one another. And I think I said it before on a podcast, you know, on the other side of hard, it really is beauty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that if we lean into the hard and we allow God to sanctify us, like he really does allow it to get easier for his glory.
And I think one thing that I've seen God use is our friendship. Mm-hmm. Because I think some people want to be partners with people who are just lovers.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like you should also pursue people who's your friend.
Yeah.
Do you like them? Do you have fun with them? Can you laugh with them? You know, and I really do think our friendship is one of the things that sustained us.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for sure. Because I say this all the time, you know, and I said this before on the podcast, but I think a lot of times people, you know, want the lover, but don't really realize how, like, vital being what the friend is. And then I think sometimes people start off as friends, but they get rocked by the realities of marriage, and that friendship kind of dwindles because they don't understand, you know, that if God gave us a spouse that met out every condition, we won't learn how to love unconditionally. And so you were my friend for 3 years, but the first year of marriage, you didn't seem like a friend anymore.
Neither did you.
I know.
You were a meanie.
I'm speaking from my perspective.
I'm just saying. Because, you know, people be in the comments like, oh, my God, Jackie is this. Oh, my God, do you not realize I married a sinner? Like, you can't possibly think that he's perfect. Oh, my goodness. So, just because his stuff ain't all out on display don't mean I ain't got to wrestle with some things.
I think in a lot of ways, you know, we both had our issues, but I think my issues were more problematic. And I tell people that all the time because...
Well, they not listening. Go ahead.
I tell people my issues were more problematic because I was a leader and I tried to force you to submit to me in ways that wasn't healthy. Right. And so a lot of your ways or your meanness or your unwilling to submit to me, it was almost like exaggerated because of my lack of leadership and my lack of love and nurture towards you. And I tell men all the time, I think what a good husband, what a good loving husband does is he will love his wife in a way that will cause her to respond. And so I said all that to say this, like in our first year of marriage, I didn't understand that. And so like I was trying to force you into this submissive wife, not for the sole purpose of sanctifying you to present you faultless before God, but for my own insecurity, right? You know, I wanted you to be a certain way so I wouldn't feel insecure, so I would feel like a good leader, so I would feel like a good husband. And I didn't know how to love, I didn't know how to lead. And so because of that, I didn't experience my friend.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so I think a lot of times in marriage, when people experience that, they don't know how to, you know, lean into the humility, and then that friendship just kind of dwindles away. But then when I finally learned that, I was like, oh, year two, year three, the end of year two, going into year three, I was like, oh, there's my friend. Aww. That's the friend that I
you
had
found
before.
Her.
Yeah, I found you when I started leading well and you start
and when our cable went out.
Respecting me.
Because we had ran out of money or something, and so we couldn't afford cable for a couple months. And what it did was, I feel like we've said this on this podcast, we had to start talking again.
Yeah.
And it was crazy how much talking again kind of restored some of our intimacy. But I do think that where I am now compared to where I was then, I clearly trust you more. Submission in a general sense is not necessarily a fear, because I trust you. Like, I trust your wisdom. Yep. I trust your direction. I just trust you. And I also feel like you trust me. Mm-hmm. And so there isn't this separateness, even like, there isn't this, he's the leader and I'm the neck. It's really, we're a unit.
Yeah.
We just work together.
Yeah. And I think that's one thing that I had to learn too. I think I had to learn that trust, like, not to take, you know, things personal just because you're my wife and I'm your husband. And because the Bible tells us, you know, to love our wives and wives submit to our husbands and trust our, you know. And so, like, I think a lot of times husbands and even wives can feel this, like, this personal jab when there's a lack of trust. But trust comes with time.
It does.
It literally comes with time, right? And so just because you married a person, just because you said I do to a person, doesn't mean that they're going to have your full trust. That's even unrealistic with our relationship with the Lord. I didn't trust the Lord year one like I trust him in year six, in year seven, right? And so if the Lord has to fight for our affections and win our hearts over a course of time, how much more our spouses?
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to learn not to take it personal, you know what I'm saying? And that your trust will grow for me the more I earn it and the more I'm consistent, right? The way the Lord is consistent.
And so trust changes because you do.
At KPMG, we make the difference. It's not just something we say, it's what we do. Our professionals believe in the value of collaboration and the power of technology. We work closely with clients to uncover insights that illuminate opportunity, develop bold solutions that innovate industries, and create better outcomes driven by data. Brighter insights. Bolder solutions. Better outcomes. It's how our people make the difference, driving growth and value for our clients. KPMG, make the difference.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug, but I ended up connecting to the world around me, a world where each sunset was painted, where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Break that down.
So when we got married, I was 24. You were what, 27? Mm-hmm. You're about to be what?
37.
38.
Oh, 38. I'll be figuring out.
I'm about to be 35. We're not the same people. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so there is a real reality in which I have to learn how to love you as you are now and not have these expectations that Preston will be the Preston that he was when he was 24 and ain't have nothing to do and was just eating fried rice and Skittles every day.
Oh my
right?
gosh.
Does it make sense?
You always say that, but when you say the fried rice,
every time I came to visit you,
Skittles on the side.
Every time I came to visit you, your dinner and your breakfast was fried rice, sir.
But look,
your kidneys were crying out for God's deliverance.
But look, when we were engaged and we were dating, like, let people know what environmental racism does. Tell them where I lived.
That don't matter. You could have drove.
I live in the middle of the
no,
hood.
No. That's laziness.
No, that's
you
not.
You could have drove.
I didn't have a car.
Yes, you did.
I didn't have a car when we were.
You had a bus ticket. You know how to walk to them trains.
I lived on the worst neighborhood on West Side Chicago. There was no Whole Foods. All it was Popeyes, Chinese food, Harold's
Chicken. Was there a grocery store?
Hot dogs.
Was there a grocery store?
No, it wasn't no grocery store.
There wasn't no grocery store. Nobody had groceries. You couldn't get bananas. Huh?
Jackie.
You couldn't get the little Caesar salad in a bag.
Jackie, what I'm saying is...
With the little crumbled up croutons. You couldn't do that.
What I'm saying is I didn't have a lot of options.
My point is... you're a different person. And so the trust changes and develops because we are changing. We are developing. We are different. Your mind is different. Your circumstances are different. Our parents are getting older. We have 4 children and a dog. We have businesses. We have ministry. We're right. Like, there's so much more that we actually have to, like, work through to make sure that we just love one another where we are now.
Yeah.
I still don't think that makes sense.
No, it definitely makes sense.
But you could have went to the grocery store.
No, I think I really loved our family pictures, and
oh, yeah.
You came up with this idea to take family pictures for our 10-year anniversary, mm-hmm. and I was like, man, these kids ain't got nothing to do with our marriage. That's the first thing I said. I said, this is about us. And then I thought about it. I was like, the fact that, you know, in 10 years, God has given us 4 children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and also too, I think that's the thing that I reflect over this last 10 years that he's allowed us to not just to just have a ministry and have a sustaining ministry with just doing multiple things, but also to build a legacy
mm-hmm.
with people, like creating other human beings that would carry our name and our family and our legacy. That I think that's probably the most special thing to me.
For sure. Because, you know, I mean, within 10 years to be blessed by God to bring into the world 4 image bearers who will reflect his image in some kind of way. I think that's a privilege yeah. and an honor. And the real gag is the first image bearer that came up out of us was Eden. And I got pregnant with her a week after our wedding, or conceived. And so that was fun.
That was the limo.
It was not. It was Have I ever told the birth control story? Have I ever told this on the podcast?
I think you did.
Like, Let me tell it once again.
Year one. People, listen, the newcomers don't
listen,
know.
Listen, February 14th. What's this? 2014, before we get married. I tell Preston, we at dinner. I said, I have a feeling.
Were we on our anniversary?
February 14th is Valentine's Day.
Okay, yeah.
So this is what, 3 weeks before our wedding. We're at dinner. I said, I don't want to scare you. I was like, but I feel like God is going to make us get pregnant early.
And
he was like, what are you talking about? I was like, I just feel this burden. Like, we're just going to get pregnant early. So then, mind you, I'm on birth control. I done went to Planned Parenthood. Don't abort your babies. But I done went to Planned Parenthood and got the little patch or whatever, because that seemed the least invasive. I can't keep up with a pill. I don't want an IUD. That makes me uncomfortable that you got a little piece of plastic up my fallopian tubes. I don't want the shot because people can't wait. So I got the little patch. Now, the patch, they give you, I think, about 3 weeks worth of patch. On the fourth week is when your period is supposed to come. And so something happened where the second week of patches came off. As soon as the patch comes off, you got to replace it. But that meant that I had to replace my 2 week patch with my 3 week patch, which would have been my honeymoon patch. Are you following me?
Yeah.
You're not. So it meant that I wasn't going to have enough birth control to sustain me through the honeymoon. So I'm just praying and hoping and pleading and petitioning God to just allow the hormones to just seep through my bloodstream.
Let me make this sticker fall off real quick.
I really fully believe that God made my skin oily that day. So that the patch would fall off because he knew Eden needed to be here. So we on the cruise ship. We're having active worship. Okay.
Let's praise him.
And on the cruise ship, I said, I'm pregnant. You remember that?
Yes. And I was like, this girl is crazy.
I was like, I feel like I'm pregnant. I literally feel like I'm pregnant. So we came back home to Chicago. And the day we came back,
she just started taking pregnancy tests. She was popping them like Skittles. I said, why are you
taking them? No, the day I came back, I was going to do this devotional. And I opened up, it was a Nancy Lee DeMoss devotional. And I opened it up to a random page, like day 72 or something like that. And it was on how her parents got pregnant with her siblings like immediately after their wedding. And I said, okay, it's giving confirmation. So I took about five tests, and it takes a long time for the pregnancy.
I'm like, why is she taking so hormone? Many tests? I know it's tests, but I want to say tests.
Preston thought I was crazy. I was just discerning.
Yeah, I'm like, she was like, I want to take another one. I said, Jackie, that test is accurate.
I just knew it. I knew it. So basically, now every time we have an anniversary, whatever year our anniversary is the year Eden is. So we had a 10-year anniversary in December. Eden turns 10. So, yeah. But I think it's God's grace, because I really fully believe that if we did not get pregnant early, we would have pushed it off to a certain degree. I don't know how long we would have pushed it off, but I also think it immediately made us a team.
Yeah.
Because when you get married and you immediately have a baby, y'all better figure out how to work together now.
And it grew me up really fast. God is sovereign. Because it grew us up, and it taught us how to be selfless. It taught me how to
immediately.
Be selfless. Immediately. I was like, I want to go to sleep. God was like, no.
Yeah.
No sleep.
Yeah. So here we are.
But yeah. It's been fun.
Year 10.
I've enjoyed being married to you for the last 10 years, babe. You are the love of my life. You are the most honest person that I've ever met. You are the most genuine person that I've ever met. Last night in the bed when we were talking about friendship, I said one of the reasons why it's hard for you to connect with people at times, because one of the reasons why you're so guarded is because when you let people in, you are actually one of the most loyal and one of the most purest people that I know when it comes to just friendship and loyalty and like helping people that you love. And so, like, without you, I wouldn't have wrote a book. Without you, I wouldn't have started Bold TV. Without you, I wouldn't have started Bold Apparel. Like, you literally helped my life in so many areas. My credit is good.
Your kidneys.
My kidneys is good.
But
when I met you, I was going to the hospital every week, and you was like, when you get married, I'm not frying food because I want you to live long. And so I just want to let you know you are a great wife. I love you.
So I guess I have to jump on the affirmation train.
That's why I gave it. Come on. Bring it on, bucko. Tell me about me. You thought this was just a one train?
Oh, that's what narcissists do. they love on you because they want it to boomerang back to them.
That was for real though.
Let me think.
You got to think. It doesn't just flow out of you.
I don't want to be sarcastic. I want to be honest. I think you are the greatest man I've ever known.
Oh,
stop playing. No, I do. I think you're
My eyeballs are sweating.
I think you're the greatest man I've ever known. I think you're consistent, you're honest, you're intelligent, you're thoughtful, you're soft. And I don't mean soft like weak.
Right. Define that.
Tender, meek. Like you have strength and you have power, but you'll lay that aside to serve people. If you have to, like, you work hard, you care a lot about how I feel, you care about my family. And I know I'm not an easy woman to love. I think most people would have divorced me 20 years ago. Even before the marriage, they would have let me go. But I think for you to care about me and all of my meanness means a lot. And so that's it. That's the best I got.
I love you.
Love you too.
Air kiss.
You trying to do the little thing where I turn my little neck. That's what you trying to replicate that on the YouTubes.
I love you.
Produced by the Pairs with support from Amanda Reed and Channing
McKay. Peace.
Video recording and audio production by Kim Powell, Abishai Perez, and Xavier Fairley. Edited by the team at Tread Lively. Artwork by Hop and music by Swoop. Thank you for listening. Now go with God.
At KPMG, our people make the difference. It's not just something we say, it's what we do. Combining the power of people and technology, we uncover brighter insights, innovate bolder solutions, and create better data-driven outcomes. KPMG. Make the difference.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted. Where I felt adventures pulse with every step. And where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.